Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of dysfunctional uterine bleeding found under the reproductive section at medbullets.com. Dysfunctional uterine bleeding refers to the abnormal frequency and intensity of menses. Polymenorrhea means frequency. Oligomenorrhea is infrequent. Hypomenorrhea is low-intensity bleeding. Hypermenorrhea is high-intensity bleeding. Metrorrhagia is frequent but irregular bleeding. Menometrorrhagia is high-intensity, irregular bleeding. This most commonly occurs at the beginning, or puberty, or the end, menopause or perimenopause, of menses, typically as a result of anovulation. Without a corpus luteum, there is an estrogen-progesterone imbalance. Progesterone is required for maintenance of the endometrium. This may also occur with ovulation, inadequate maintenance and or maturation of the corpus luteum. Bleeding past menopause is most commonly endometrial hyperplasia or endometrial cancer. Treatment is medical and includes progesterone and OCPs. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to dysfunctional uterine bleeding, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 72-year-old woman presents for a well visit. She experienced menarche at age 11 and menopause at age 56. The patient has never been pregnant and has always had negative pap smears. She has never had a sexually transmitted infection, and her only sexual partner has been her husband of 35 years. Her past medical history is significant for obesity with a BMI of 30, type 2 diabetes, breast cancer in her early 50s that was treated with mastectomy and tamoxifen. Her current medications include metformin and topical estrogen. She reports that her period has returned lately and describes episodes of painless, heavy vaginal bleeding over the past few months. The patient denies any previous history of heavy menstrual periods prior to the recent episodes, abnormal bleeding or bruising elsewhere, pain or bleeding with intercourse, and trauma to the area. She denies tobacco and alcohol use. On exam, her abdomen is soft and non-tender, her uterus is smooth and non-enlarged, and she has a normal-appearing vagina. Which of the following findings is likely associated with this patient's presentation? Choice 1, benign uterine smooth muscle tumor. Choice 2, endometrial hyperplasia with atypical cells. Choice 3, high-grade squamous intraepithelial lesion. Choice 4, mucosal hemorrhages. Choice 5, thinning and inflammation of the vaginal walls. The correct answer is choice 2, endometrial hyperplasia with atypical cells. The most likely diagnosis for this postmenopausal patient who presents with vaginal bleeding is endometrial carcinoma due to her significant exposure to high estrogen levels from a combination of factors, including tamoxifen use, late menopause, nulliparity, and obesity, as well as her history of diabetes. Endometrial hyperplasia with atypical cells would be seen on biopsy. Endometrial carcinoma is the most common cancer of the female genital tract in the United States. The major risk factor for development of endometrial carcinoma is long-term exposure to increased estrogen levels, which causes thickening of the endometrium and can lead to abnormal endometrial gland proliferation. Possible sources of excess estrogen include early menarche, late menopause, nulliparity, obesity, and estrogen replacement therapy, as well as a history of diabetes. Endometrial carcinoma commonly presents as vaginal bleeding in postmenopausal women between the ages of 65 and 74. Workup may include a transvaginal ultrasound, which will show thickening of the endometrium, but definitive diagnosis is via an endometrial biopsy, which will show endometrial hyperplasia with atypical cells. Early stage disease may be managed with progestins, while later stage disease is typically managed via total hysterectomy with bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. A benign uterine smooth muscle tumor is a uterine leiomyoma. Most fibroids are asymptomatic, but symptomatic fibroids may present with pain, menorrhagia, an enlarged or irregular uterus, infertility, and or dyspareunia. The patient is unlikely to have symptomatic fibroids because she is noted to have a smooth, non-enlarged uterus and denies any pain associated with her recent bleeding episodes. Choice 3. A high-grade squamous intraepithelial lesion is a precursor to cervical carcinoma. It may present with abnormal vaginal bleeding, especially postcoital. Key risk factors include early onset of sexual activity, multiple sexual partners, immunosuppression, history of sexually transmitted infections, and cigarette smoking. Cervical lesions are often detected early with pap smears before progression to a high grade. This patient is unlikely to have a high-grade squamous intraepithelial lesion due to her history of negative pap smears, lack of history of sexually transmitted illnesses, a single sexual partner, and the absence of a smoking history. Choice 4. Mucosal hemorrhages suggest a coagulation disorder, such as von Willebrand disease. Von Willebrand disease is characterized by decreased or defective von Willebrand factor, increased bleeding time, and elevated PTT. Patients often experience prolonged or recurrent nosebleeds, bleeding from the gums, excessive bruising, and heavy menstrual bleeding. This patient denies a previous history of heavy menstrual periods prior to the recent episodes, as well as any abnormal bleeding or bruising elsewhere. Choice 5. Thinning and inflammation of the vaginal wall suggest atrophic vaginitis. Atrophic vaginitis is typically seen in women with low estrogen levels, such as after menopause or after bilateral oophorectomy. It may present with vaginal dryness and dyspareunia, and treatment includes topical or systemic estrogen. Although the most common cause of abnormal uterine bleeding in postmenopausal women is atrophic vaginitis, this patient is less likely to have atrophic vaginitis because she already uses topical estrogen and is noted to have a normal-appearing vagina on exam rather than vaginal dryness. Finally, a bullet summary. Endometrial carcinoma often presents as painless vaginal bleeding in postmenopausal women with a history of exposure to increased estrogen levels, with endometrial hyperplasia and atypical cells seen on biopsy. That's all for this review about dysfunctional uterine bleeding. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we would be thrilled if you would consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.